Thank you, Pastor Danny. Such a blessing to be able to sing about the resurrection. Sure, it's the week after Easter, but every Sunday is a celebration of the fact that Jesus Christ is our risen Lord, that he is victorious. Every Sunday is worthy of a celebration of the resurrection. So thank you for leading us in that, my brother. It's good to be with you again this morning. Church family, and perhaps some guests who are tuning into our worship service. It's been a long time since I've been able to be with you. And sitting in my own living room, participating in worship services from home, it has given me a sense of the church coming to me, to my own home. Jesus tells us that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there with them. And so, in that sense, we are together as a church family. We are together in spirit, even as we are physically separated. That physical separation has been a little bit difficult. It's been difficult for me. I mean, here we are this morning, and what I really want is for this gathering area to be filled up with people that I love. I want to be giving hugs and handshakes, laughing together, praying together. And yet our circumstances require that we be apart, that we have a sense of longing, a sense that we're missing out on something. And that is in many ways a spiritual longing. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 1, when he says, I long to be with you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Being together as a church family allows for a sense of building each other up that we do not have when we are separated. And Paul himself misses that connection with the church family. He then goes on through the rest of Romans in his wonderful treatise about salvation in Jesus Christ. And then as he's wrapping up the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 15, he gets into another personal section where he is sharing with them his plans that he wants to see them, but that for the time being he is hindered in doing that. We can move on from that verse for a second. And we'll come back to it. He has this sense that he is on mission. And while he is on mission, that requires him to be separated from the church family. But that is a good thing. He doesn't look at circumstances as something that hinders him from being able to do what he really wants to do, but rather he says he is filled with such a sense, such an urgency of taking the gospel wherever Jesus Christ hasn't been heard, that that urgency prevents him from being with his church family. And I'd like for you to think about that for a minute. In this time of separation, in this very strange time that probably none of us have experienced in our lifetime, have you viewed it as negative circumstances that prevent you from doing what you really want to do? Or have you been able to view it as something that is from God? And have you been able to have a sense of mission as a church family, even in a time of physical separation? Paul says that he is separated from the church family, but that they are present with each other in spirit as they carry out the mission that God has for the church. We are a church on mission. And even though we can't be together, we are present with each other in spirit. So what does a church on mission look like as it is absent in the body, but present in the spirit? And the first thing is that the church on mission prays. Let's go to Romans chapter 15, verse 30, where Paul, while absent from the church family, calls them to be present with him on mission through prayer. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. That is, it's such a beautiful word that he uses to describe prayer in that passage. He uses one word that literally means struggling together. Join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. It's a word that describes being shoulder to shoulder, being side by side, fighting together in the trenches, or working together side by side in a field. He does not describe a church family that is separated physically, but rather a church family that is in united in spirit as it prays. Come right alongside me where I am. Join together with me in my struggle by praying to God for me. In another place, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he actually thanks the church for helping him from afar by praying. He views the ministry of the church body of praying for each other as an actual, real, present help. And that is how we can be for each other as a church family. Join together and praying. Some of the things that he asks for prayer for in the course of this epistle, Romans, as well as others, is first of all, for physical well-being. That's what he prays in this passage. He says, pray to God for me, pray that I will be protected. This is a time when very many of us share a deep concern for physical well-being, and not only for our own, but as well, but also for the physical well-being of others whom we love in our church family. We've been praying for Jessica. This is her 24th day of struggling with a fever from the COVID infection. Just last night, we received a prayer request for an Alliance pastor in another state who is struggling with this virus. We have international workers, missionaries who are serving around the world in places where the virus is spreading, and they are seeking to take advantage of a new sense of openness and questioning and worry and fear and doubt on the part of people to bring the hope of Jesus Christ right where the struggle is. So we pray for their well-being, but then we also pray for effective ministry. We pray, as Paul asked, for open doors for the good news of Jesus Christ. As we pray for each other, as we pray for well-being, as we pray for the success of the gospel, we can also pray in some of the ways that Paul prayed for the churches. He describes praying that the people of the churches would grow in their love for each other and in their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He prays that believers would grow in the knowledge of God. He prays that they would be filled up to the full measure of the fullness of God. The church prays for well-being. The church prays for the success of the ministry. And the church prays for spiritual growth and for fullness for each other, even in a time of physical separation, being united in spirit through prayer. And so let me encourage you to let your love abound in prayer for each other. Pray for those whom I've already mentioned who are sick as well as others. Share your prayer requests with each other. Let them be known so that we can be united in spirit on mission as we support each other in prayer. There's another area in which Paul expresses the unity of the church, or presence in spirit, even while being absent in the body, and that is providing care and encouragement for each other. Paul does not in any way hide both his affection and his great burden for fellow believers, even when he is not with them. He tells the church in Philippi, "I have you in my heart." He tells the church in the region of Galatia that he has a burden even as a mother has for a newborn child. The churches are in his heart. He describes to the church in Corinth that in the midst of his persecutions and his physical sufferings, the very greatest burden he has is for his fellow believers and for the well-being of the church. He has great love for his brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. He cares deeply for them, and he desires to offer them encouragement, even from a distance, and receive encouragement from them. That is why we have the New Testament, or much of the New Testament. It's letters from Paul or from other apostles to the churches from a distance, making a connection, a communication, and offering words of encouragement. But you and I know that sometimes written words from a distance aren't enough. There's a need for a greater personal connection. And even if we can't be with each other in a physical presence, there are other ways of having that personal connection. For Paul, without modern technology, his means of making a personal connection was actually sending emissaries. And so in various places he talks about sending Timothy to a church or sending Epaphroditus to a church. And then that individual comes back and brings him word. And so there's that personal connection. He himself experiences some of the weaknesses of written communication in the course of his epistles. And so he needs that personal connection. We live in a modern world in which there can be some measure of personal connection through Zoom that many of you have been using, or through other means of social media by which we can have a greater level of contact. And what I so very much long for is that those means of connection and personal contact would be used not only perhaps to debate certain political points, or to accomplish good work on the workplace as we connect remotely, but that these means of personal communication would be used to provide care and encouragement for each other in the body of Christ. Here's how it played out in the church in Thessaloniki. The apostle had personally planted that church. He was there when the first inkling of persecution arose among that young body, and he was actually driven from the church because of persecution. And as he moved on his way, he delighted in the fact that a young church family had been established, but he was deeply concerned for their well-being. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he describes that concern as almost driving him crazy. And he says, finally, when I couldn't stand it any longer, I sent Timothy to you. And so Timothy goes and he offers a word of encouragement, and he finds out about the condition of the church, and then brings that back, this report. Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us, and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. All I really want to emphasize here is this two-way street of offering care and encouragement and receiving care and encouragement by whatever means possible, even at a distance. Paul knew that the churches had needs, and so he connected with them. The churches wanted to know about Paul's needs, and so they connected back with him, and in this way offered encouragement to each other. And they also offered, in a very concrete sense, care for each other. Sometimes when Paul wrote, he actually described for the believers needs that he had. And then when someone came back to him as an emissary, they provided for his very concrete physical needs. And we can be that for each other as a church family on mission. Are you the kind of person who really doesn't want to talk about a need with other people. Can I urge you, in these weeks when we are separated from each other, don't isolate yourself in the sense of need. If there is something that you are lacking, if there is something that you cannot provide for yourself, you have brothers and sisters who want to care for you. Let your needs be known so that we can be a church family for each other, even at a distance, by caring for each other. Reach out. Don't slog through it alone. Make the connection so that we can provide care and encouragement for each other. Let your love abound towards each other, both in the sharing of and the caring for needs that we may have. Another way that Paul is present with believers, even when physically absent from them, is in the matter of providing edification and exhortation from a distance. This comes out in his relationship with the church in Colossae. This is actually a church that Paul had never even been able to visit in person. It was established by someone else. He had heard about the church and had heard wonderful things about the church, about the love that they share for each other, about the success of the gospel among them. And so he writes a letter to them from a distance in order to make a connection with them, but also in order to address a fledgling error that was arising among them in their teaching. And he was concerned lest that error take hold and spread among the church. And so he writes to them. And this is what he says to the church in Colossae, chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. He says, "Though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit. And I delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Even though he is separated by the miles, he is able to connect with them and offer this message of encouragement and a message of exhortation that is challenging them, that is addressing a need that they have and telling them to move forward in their walk with the Lord. A time of separation is not a time for hunkering down. A time of separation is not a time for protecting and maintaining our position. The Apostle Paul uses very active words in this passage. You received, now continue in it. You were rooted or established, now grow. Use this time as a time for spiritual prosperity. And so he addresses specific areas in which they can prosper and grow in their faith, even while they are not with him. Two big themes of exhortation and encouragement that Paul offers churches from a distance are, first of all, working out what is inside, and second, being or practicing integrity, not only when we are together, but also when we are apart. Paul tells the church in Philippi, "Not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to act according to his good purpose." His emphasis in that letter, as well as the one here in Colossae, is that you have received something. You have been established in your faith in Jesus Christ. Don't let it just stay there, but live it out. Have it be seen in your relationships. Have it be seen in the attitudes of your heart. This is so important at this very time. We are the church scattered. We are not the church gathered in these weeks. But as we are scattered, we have opportunities to live out our faith in ways that we never can when we are here for a few hours on a Sunday morning. And by the way, that is something that is true not only during this time of crisis in our nation and in our world, that is something that is true all the time. You're only here in church one or two, if you come to special activities, maybe 4 or 5 hours a week. But 24 hours, 7 days a week, we have a faith that is inside us that needs to be worked out in our attitudes, in our relationships, in our interactions with the world. And so Paul calls for a church that is united in spirit in encouraging each other to work out what is inside, to live out our salvation day to day, as he so often says, to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. And in that regard, he pays special attention to integrity. He tells the church in Corinth that they should be the same in his absence as they are in his presence. He tells the churches in the region of Galatia, yes, it's good to be zealous when I'm with you, but it's even better to be zealous for the faith when I'm not with you. Let's not live one life when we happen to be around other believers who see us at that moment. Let's live in integrity before a God who is with us in every moment. Have you happened to see that thing that's going around on Facebook? We have all been exposed. If you can find it, let me encourage you to do that. Obviously, it doesn't mean we've all been exposed to COVID. But we have all been exposed in this time in the attitudes of our hearts and in the true nature of our faith. This is a day when so many things have been stripped away from us, when our masks have been ripped off, when our public persona has been challenged, and we have been revealed on the inside for what we are. And I have to confess to you, I haven't liked some of the things that I have seen in my own self. This is a difficult time. This is the time when we need each other more than ever to encourage, to exhort, to move on together in our faith, living out what has been planted in us. And that connects directly with the next point that I'd like to describe in Paul's relationship with the churches. And this is a tough one. One of the temptations in doing a topical message is to be able to pick and choose what it is that you want to talk about. Normally in Cary Alliance Church, we preach what is called expository sermons. And that is where we go to a passage and we find out what is actually supposed to be communicated in that passage and do our very best to communicate those biblical truths as they are given to us. And then we go through books of the Bible, hitting the various themes that the Holy Spirit has provided in His Word, rather than simply picking out of our minds what themes that we might think are best for the church. This morning we are doing a truly topical message. The theme is being together in spirit, even as we are separated physically, and being together in spirit on mission for the Lord. And in doing so, there are all kinds of things that we could talk about. And so I set for myself some measure of standard, something that I had to hold myself to, so that I didn't simply pick and choose the things I wanted to. And that is, I sought out through all of Paul's letters the places where he specifically talks about being separated, about being absent, or, on the other hand, being present together in spirit while being separated. And so as I was reading through 1 Corinthians, I came across a very difficult passage where he talks about this. Honestly, it's something I don't like to talk about. I do not like confrontation. I am terrified by the idea of calling someone out in error. But Paul calls the churches to accountability before each other and before the Lord, even as they are separated physically. Calling to accountability is part of what it means to be a body on mission together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 21, Paul is beginning to address a very serious error among the church family. It's an error that I will not describe in detail here. You can go look it up for yourself in 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. But in addressing this error, he says the following. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline, or come to you in love and with a gentle spirit? And then at the end of 2 Corinthians, he's bringing this same theme to conclusion as he says, examine yourselves to see whether you are of the faith. Test yourselves. This theme of calling the church to accountability is something that runs through all of 1 Corinthians, runs through another letter to Corinth that we probably don't have this day, and then all through what we have as 2 Corinthians, as he's going back and forth with the church about serious sin and about calling people to accountability, about restoration of relationships, and then finally about joy when forgiveness is offered. He's calling believers to challenge each other, to call each other to holiness and to faithfulness, and most of all, to be accountable in their relationship with God, who sees all things and knows all things. In the course of this relationship, there is misunderstanding, there is accusation, but there is also repentance, forgiveness, and joy. And church, in a time when we are separate, let me urge you to be together in the matter of accountability. One thing that I've seen in my life is when there are new pressures, that's when the old temptations rear up their ugly heads. When there are new and challenging circumstances, things that we thought we had dealt with might come out again. When we are spending more hours than usual at a computer screen, what are the temptations that arise there? When we are bored, how do we fill up our time? When we are stressed, how does that overflow in the old anger that we have dealt with? We have all kinds of addictions and hang-ups. The scripture does not hide anything when it comes to the fact that we are very human and deal with very human difficulties. What the scriptures do call us to is not to try to hide those things, but rather to confess them to each other, to pray for each other, to be accountable to each other, and to rejoice with each other in victory. So here's what I'm getting at. If you have been in an accountability relationship to this point, don't stop now. You need it more than ever. Maybe you can't be together in person, but reach out and call each other to faith, to holiness, and to good deeds. And if you have not been in an accountability relationship but need one now, reach out to a trusted friend. Make sure that you are not struggling alone against these temptations that come up, even as we have been challenged in so many areas in these recent days. And then there's one more thing that I'd like to talk about this morning. And that is, even though we are absent in the body, we can be together in the Spirit in the work of the gospel. This really comes out in the book of Philippians. Paul is writing to the church in Philippi from prison. And as he is in prison, he has no idea how things are going to turn out. He says, I could be condemned and die. I could be set free to continue my ministry. I don't know what is going to happen. But one of the things that he rejoices in, even as he is separated from the church in Philippi, a church that he longs to be with, one of the things that he rejoices in is that the work of the gospel is continuing. It is that work that drives Paul to do what he does day in and day out, week in and week out, year in and year out. And so there he is in prison, but while he is cooped up in prison, the whole palace guard, everybody that he has contact with, is hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. And then he rejoices because others who have heard about him being in prison are also being spurred on to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people around them. And so then finally he calls the Philippian believers at the end of Philippians chapter 1. He calls them to faithfulness in the work of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's what he says. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, whether I come to you and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. One commentator said that what Paul is telling the Philippians is that they are to stand united in their struggle for the cause of the faith, its spread and growth, whether the apostle is with them or separated from them. He is calling them to the hard work of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. That is a church on mission in every circumstance. That is what we are called to be. There's some sense in which we've been trying to do that. I don't know if you had the opportunity to drop off a box of diapers for Hand of Hope. Many of you did. And you can go on Facebook and you can actually see pictures of when they were taken there. What a great opportunity in a concrete way to express the love of Christ for young women who are in a desperate situation. Thank you for being a church that reaches out in that way. And there are so many other ways you can do it. I think the biggest problem is not having enough creativity. Let us think and let us pray in this time when all of our circumstances are jumbled up and things are turned upside down. How can we be reaching out? How can we be serving the community around us? And probably the most significant thing that we can do is identify opportunities specifically to talk about Jesus. I've heard some of you describe being out on an evening walk and seeing more of your neighbors than you've ever had a chance to see before. Meeting people who live right down the road, even just a couple of houses away, whom you've never had the opportunity to meet before. And little conversations that are held at a distance of 6 feet. But making connections that we haven't had before. Do you see? This is an opportunity to be a church on mission. And so let me encourage you to develop just a little testimony of your faith that can be inserted in some of those conversations. A testimony of our faith does not have to be complicated, erudite, or profound in nature. A testimony of our faith is just something that God is doing in our lives. It can have a basic 3-point outline. What was, and then God made a difference, and now what is. People these days are filled with fear. People these days are worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. You can develop a testimony about fear or worry. You can say, you know what? These are scary times. And there was a time when I was ruled by fear. I was afraid for my children, or I was afraid for my physical well-being, whatever it might be. It's true for you, not necessarily true for me. I have other fears and worries. But I was worried about this thing. But then I met Jesus. Then I saw how God can make a difference in my life. He took care of the most significant thing that I could be worried about, and that is my eternal relationship with Him. But in doing so, He cares for my present worries as well. He tells me that I can cast my cares on Him because He, the God of all the universe, cares about me. And so now when I start to be worried about something, when I'm concerned, when I'm fearful, I go to Him. And I'm amazed by the sense of peace that He gives me. You might not get the whole gospel in there, but you're making a connection. You're telling people about a concrete way that God has changed your life. That is a church on mission. Yes, absent in the body, but present with each other in spirit, moving forward for the sake of the gospel. That's what I want to call us to be this morning. A church on mission together, absent in the body, but present in the spirit. As I thought about ways to really make this concrete, one of the first things that jumped into my mind was our small groups. Do you want an opportunity to pray for each other? Do you want an opportunity to offer care and encouragement to people whom you are getting to know more deeply? Do you want an opportunity to offer edification and exhortation and accountability? Do you want folks who will help you to hone your testimony, will challenge you to reach out to your neighbors? All of those things can take place in the context of a small group, much better than they can take place here on a Sunday morning. Our small groups are continuing to meet. If you're not part of a small group, if you're not part of a Bible study, if you are not connected with other believers in a concrete way on a regular basis, let me please encourage you to do that now. We've been talking about it. Pastor Cameron is the person you would want to contact if you'd like to become involved. Our point is, yes, isolate, but don't insulate. Reach out to other members within the church family. Reach out in your neighborhood. Reach out even in your workplace, whether it's remotely or actually there at work. Look for ways to serve people. Look for ways to insert the gospel into your conversations. Be a church on mission for the glory of God, even as we are separated during this time. Together in the Spirit, striving together for the sake of the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in these very strange times where so much has changed, we thank You for the things that remain the same. From everlasting to everlasting, You are God. Heaven and earth might pass away, but Your word will never pass away. Our Father is always at work. And God, You are continuing Your work to this very day. These are the things that we can count on. And thank You for the church. This mystery that never existed before, but that You established in Jesus Christ, bringing together people from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of histories, into one body. And thank You that the church is established even when we are not able to meet together. And Lord, thank You that our basic commission remains the same. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter who we are with. You call us to love You supremely, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to make disciples in all of the world. Lord, we thank You for the continuing ministry of Your Holy Spirit among us. that even in a time when we are separated, you have given wisdom as to how we can continue to live out our lives before you in integrity and in hope. And Lord, I pray that you would continue that work among us. Yes, we are absent in the body. Holy Spirit, bring us together as one, serving each other, encouraging each other, and side by side, serving you for your glory in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.